You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Offerman, this is disconcerting. This is you. Hello. You beardless is disconcerting. I don't know what I don't know what to do with this. My wife has told me never to lose my beard, that I am not allowed. I don't think I would recognize you if you walked past me in the street right now without your beard.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. My wife, after 20 years, has announced she does not like a mouthful of thistles. And here we are.
And look at you.
That sounds like a Clint Eastwood movie.
It sounds, a mouthful of thistles sounds, it does sound like a Clint Eastwood movie. This is delightful to see you, to see your face.
You too. It's I am excited that you have added, you've taken the podcast under your Meadowlark wing. It's nice to have your world fleshed out more here.
Well, it means that you're going to have to be in it more is what it's going to. We got to pull into those worlds and go and grab you because, yes, you, Mike Schur and Paz both have the same sensibilities we do. Do you know Joe Posnanski?
I do, yeah. Through Mike and the Pozcast, Joe and I have hung a bunch at baseball games, and he actually went on the road with me a little bit. Right before the pandemic, he rode with me to some Kansas comedy shows. So we're pals.
I'm very excited about this, and you just did a great intro for us. The podcast is a part of Meadowlark Media, and Nick Offerman will make his appearances over there because it is a fun playground where Mike Schur just has a lot of fun talking about absurd and ridiculous things, and some baseball is in there as well. He's got a new book, Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, the Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. You write books with great frequency, I see. And the pandemic, you were bored and trapped inside and had to make something, right? It's a creator's got to make something.
That's right. I start to go crazy. It's weird because the American dream, we're sort of taught you should get paid as much as possible to do as little work as possible. That's how I was brought up. That's what the media always told me, and David Lee Roth videos. And then I come to learn as an adult, I go crazy if I'm not doing something, if I'm not of some use to somebody.
Is that where woodworking is? Like, you've got to be doing something. So you were in your house, and were you sculpting things, or was what you were sculpting this book and the idea that I have to have a different relationship or examine my relationship with the outdoors?
Well, this book was overdue. My generous publishers had made me a deal some years back for this book, and they reminded me with gentle firmness, we don't want to have to get legal on your ass, so you might want to crank out that book. And I said, well, given the context, I have this idea about our thinking about our relationship with nature and asking myself and us some questions about that relationship. And so the pandemic was handy for that anyway.
Do you explore it all the way that we're destroying nature, that we're destroying Earth? Are you one of those Hollywood wackos, those left-wing wackos worried about climate change and how we've destroyed the Earth with our dependence on fossil fuels? Or are you a reasonable human being, Snowflake?
I guess I'm super snowflakey, but more than, I don't know, I don't feel like the wacko side of it comes into play, because I generally stand on a foundation of common sense. I come from a farming family, and so it's through reading agrarian writers that I admire, like Wendell Berry and James Rebanks, who point out the fallacy in not being familiar with things like who's growing our food, and how are our food systems related to our national health. Something that we don't ever think about, which to my way of thinking is that's the wacko part, is that we blindly say, okay, I'll eat this this puff product.
You wrote a book. Do you consider listening to audiobooks reading?
Oh, sure. I love audiobooks. It's a different metabolism, but I go running every day, and so that's 1 hour a day that I can be consuming content. So I'm deeply grateful for audiobooks. My wife and I also love them on the road.
But is it reading?
It's not reading.
But is it reading is what he's saying. He's not asking you if you like audiobooks.
See you guys leading the witness trying to get the answer that you guys...
I don't think that he understood the question.
Mr. Offerman, I listen to a bunch of audiobooks all the time. And basically what you're telling me is I now have the privilege of calling myself well-read.
This is a semantic trap you're leading me into. I think the act of reading involves... viewing with your eyeballs the written word and comprehending them in your brain. I think, or with your fingertips if you happen to be reading Braille. But I don't think that the act of listening to an audible performance.
Nicely done on the fingertips there. You are super woke, my friend, the way that you did that. That was well done. The way you can do it with your fingers and your eyes, but not your ears. That's some bullshit, Offerman. That's some bullshit.
Please tell Mike Schur that I said that.
I want to get his opinions on pizza, Mike, because this is a person, he's a Chicago fan. I think is it Bears and Cubs?
Those are the Chicago teams. Yes, I haven't watched a football game for lo these many years, but I am a pretty obsessive Cubs fan.
Okay, but certainly this is all by way of building a bridge to just pizza. If you're a Chicago person, you have to have strong opinions on pizza. So, what are the pineapple on pizza? How do we feel about that?
That's a big no from this guy. I disagree with my friend Mike Schur about warm fruit. I'm a huge fan of blueberry pie, for example. But pineapple on pizza, no thank you.
How about if you have a pizza, do you want it to be thin? Do you want it to be thick? What is the best Sicilian style? What is the best of the pizzas? I believe Billy thinks the Chicago pizza is overrated.
Yeah, no, very overrated.
In truth, everyone should be allowed to like what they like, but I like a thick Chicago-style pizza. I have had pizza on the East Coast that I believe I've said in the past, if properly dried and trimmed, the New York pizza could make a nice box for the Chicago pizza.
Not for me. For me, it's pasta, Chicago pizza.
That's fair.
How do you feel about a stuffed crust? I believe that Billy had very strong opinions about the stuff. Oh, what? That's a face that we would have never seen before from Nick Offerman behind a beard. He made a face. He made a face that seemed to be very passionate. But what happened? Do you have a controversial opinion here?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, I think anything that's ridiculous, like deep frying a Snickers bar, is fantastic. I mean, what a time to be alive. We can have delicious pizza and put a bunch of delicious artery clogging shit actually in the crust.
Yeah,
that in a manner of speaking is wonderful. It's like a miracle. At the same time, it depends on your age and your context. When I first got cast as Ron Swanson, I couldn't go to a restaurant without people putting an extra inch of bacon on whatever I ordered.
Oh, what a great problem
was that?
To have.
Really? You're complaining about that?
It's incredible. And I spent about a year just relishing in it and going to restaurants more often than I had for that very reason. But then eventually my cardiologist said, here, I want to show you a picture of this occluded sewage system. This is your this is your arteries. And I said, oh, right, got it. I live in reality.
No, that person doesn't know what they're talking
about. What is better, a lifetime of restaurants where they put another slab of bacon on everything you eat, or living? Because I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't want to live in a world that doesn't have that happening to me once I've had it.
Tell us, how long did this go? And tell me every story. You just walk in everywhere. And please, how often was this happening?
Pretty frequently. The thing is, nobody would ever say anything. Something again about the Ron Swanson character, it excites some sort of terror or respect in the public. So there, which is wonderful. So everyone's really polite to me. So I would order a cheeseburger or a steak or whatever it was, and it would just show up with a pile of bacon on it. And I would look around, and usually I could see like a chef through the kitchen window just giving me a thumbs up.
And that's wonderful. I would
tip my cap. And I literally at times felt so bad, because often it would be more than I could eat
This is magical. What you're describing is heaven to me. Can you please explain unspoken perks that you've had in your life? Give me one that's better than that, from living the Hollywood life, that just everywhere you showed up, somebody would throw an extra slab of bacon on something. Like, you don't have a lot of perks better than that one, do you?
That's tough to beat. I felt so bad sometimes that I would take a bunch of the bacon and put it in my pocket.
No. So
that, pocket no, bacon. They, no, that's no, great, Dan. Then you have it for the rest of the day.
No, I don't believe you.
Conversely, similarly, I also, to this day, I'll go to a hotel. I was just shooting something in Calgary, and I ordered room service, and it came with like a double neat glass of Lagavulin, and the and the room service manager shows up, and he's like, hey, and you know, I have no business pounding a glass of whiskey. I got to be up at 5 a.m, you know, learning my lines and whatever. And this guy shows up and is like, I'm not going to send you your dinner without a huge glass of scotch. So that's the other perk that still happens a lot.
Were you at a near-death experience with your arteries? Did your cardiologist say, no, you've got to go plant-based and you got to be fully Hollywood foo-foo?
No, I mean, he just basically said, we should find a balance. And I was down with that. You know, an inch of a slab of bacon, a rasher of bacon is the proper term, once a week actually goes down a lot better than 4 or 5 times a week. You know, you got to keep your desserts in the dessert category.
No, balance. Find a new cardiologist. That's what I always say.
That is absolutely right, Billy.
To each his own.
How did you get in, and why are you in the Colin Kaepernick series, Black and White? It's available now on Netflix. What is the story behind you and that project?
I for several years now, whenever my wife and I see anything from the great director and producer Ava DuVernay, we, as the credits roll and we wipe our eyes, we say, good God, more than anybody in our lifetime, Ava is doing what we got into this business to do, which is like directly spoon medicine to the people. The truth telling that she does and the activism that she engages in with her storytelling is so profound. And so I had no idea. I was a fan of Colin Kaepernick. I'm not a football fan. But I knew the story, and I was like, okay, clearly this is an incredibly brave and heroic guy. And most of his opponents are just dealing with misinformation or bigotry. Like, it's clear what side to be on of this story. I had no idea that he was adopted by a white Wisconsin couple until Ava got a hold of me and we had a Zoom meeting. And she said, I want you to play Colin Kaepernick's dad.
That sounds like a joke, right? So you're, yeah, yes, like, yeah, so you're
have you seen me with my top off? How did you get this idea? And so I was,
It sounds like a good comedy. Nick Offerman as Colin Kaepernick's dad.
It's uncanny. And amazingly, his adoptive dad was a sports star in the Wisconsin area that he grew up in. And so learning all that history and being involved with Ava and Colin has just been so rewarding. I think they've done an incredible job of, it's sort of the Colin Kaepernick origin story. It doesn't get into anything with his modern day 49ers stuff. It's all about when he was in high school in Central California, where they eventually moved in a pretty white community. And as he was a teenager and began to see how he was treated differently than his peers because of the color of his skin. It's done with incredible restraint and a wonderful scope.
It's politics. It's politics and racism. It's not scope. It's things that we fight over now. What are you talking about? Like you're trying to bring an artful understanding to how Colin arrived at his worldview. Is that what you're telling us?
I guess that's the swing that we're taking. Yes, it's pretty beautifully done. It focuses on like microaggressions, and I think, you know, in most of the stuff that I do, including this series with Colin, we just always say if we can bring a few more people to the side of decency, that's how it's going to go. You know, I don't think there's any work of art we can make that's suddenly going to fix Virginia's gubernatorial race. But if we can just get a few voters, eventually then things like marijuana might become legal, or gay marriage might become a banal, regular thing in our lives. So we're just plugging away.
The new book is Where the Deer and the Antelope Play, the Pastoral Observations of One Ignorant American Who Loves to Walk Outside. I want to talk to him more, but he's got to go. Check out his work with Mike Schur occasionally on the podcast as part of Metalark Media. Thank you for being on with us. Before you get out of here, though, as it comes to the Colin in Black and White, which is now available on Netflix, as you pair the work you're doing there against what you see happening in America over the last 5 years and what you've seen from the NFL still blackballing him, even though you're purposely, I'm guessing, keeping that part of the story out of there because I'm guessing you want to show the formative years. This is how we got to moment in history. This is the artistic path that we're taking, Nick Offerman as his father. When you pair this against our times, which are hostile and cruel and fighting everywhere, and you're trying to attack it with art, how do you pair those things as someone who's a conscious American, conscious about our planet, conscious about our freedom and our freedom to create?
Well, it's a great question. Thank you. And the Colin series is a great example. Like, when I promote it on my social media, I say I'm very honored to be part of this with Ava and Colin. You should check it out. And then I get all of these trolls coming at me with like quarterback statistics where they're like, yeah, he only threw 7 for 40, you know, and I'm like, you're not listening. And here's the thing is we're in such an incredible sort of bifurcated state where no matter if you're red or blue or if you like all people or white people more, whatever your stance, whatever conversation we get into, pretty quickly some hot button topic comes up: vaccination, you know, voting rights, racism, what have you. And immediately we back into our tribal sort of bubbles. And so my feeling is to try and just appeal to everyone on a level of decency and positivity. So instead of saying, let's get into this argument and yell at each other about you know, whether Big Bird is a communist or not, let's just say, hey, Big Bird got vaccinated. That's cool. He's thinking of the common good. We all should get vaccinated. And you're going to have a lot of people yell in opposition to that, but I'm not going to engage that. All I'm going to do is say, here's the right thing to do. Here's what I've discerned from my common sense, and from my attempts at empathy. And I hope you'll join me. And then I think eventually more and more people will. But that's the human race. We'll always be flawed. We'll always be fighting over something. So instead of engaging with name calling, I'm going to just try to keep making positive things like my friend Mike taught me.
Thank you for being on with us. The book, what do you want people to know about it? This has become a full promotional. I'm uncomfortable with what a promotional vehicle for you this has been. next time we will come on and talk about things that aren't just your manifold projects.
That's fine with me. I'm also uncomfortable in commercial mode. My book is full of questions. You know, it's questioning the mistakes that we make as a society. That's all. If you take a step back and pretend you're from another planet, it's easy to say, "Oh, you guys really screwed some stuff up here." and just to have the ability to say, okay, sure, we always will. We're human. Let's own that and see if we can improve it and do better for ourselves. Or it's about 350 pages, so that's also 350 fire starters if you use one page at a time.
It's not very eco-friendly. In fact, you're going back, circling back on the previous conversation, we're better off not reading that in book form. We're better off audio reading that.
It's true. We're big proponents of recycling recycled and alternative paper sourcing. I have a hard time getting over the artifact of an actual paper book, but we definitely need to do better vis-a-vis our forests.
Are any of you disappointed by the lack of Offerman Thicket on his face? It's disconcerting to me. I don't know what to do, how long he has been beardless, but it's confusing to me, and I'm sorry I'm doing this to you.
I'm going the other way on it. He's given me confidence that I can probably go clean shaven because I'm always worried about what's under there, but it is indeed soup season, and that's problematic with a beard.
It is. It's tough, you guys. I get it. I understand that whole thing. At the same time, as an actor, I am clean shaven for my job, even all through the Ron Swanson years and before and after. Sometimes I have whiskers, sometimes I don't. And I will ask you all to accept me as I am.
No,
humbly.
No, this guy's not getting bacon in restaurants. You're not. It's not coming at the same rate. You can't. You got to admit that the bacon has stopped coming if you start walking into these places without a beard.
I can't argue with that. That's the truth. It's the people start to think maybe they should put it in a smoothie or something. They get confused.
In your pockets, for real? Like you'd leave with it? You'd leave with bacon in your pockets? Is there the chance that I can find a pair of pants in your house that still has a piece of bacon in it from one drunken happy night?
Oh hell no! I mean, you know, I may be foolish in a lot of ways, but I'm not going to go to bed with a piece of bacon uneaten in my pocket.
Thank you for being on with us, Nick. Always enjoy it.
Thank you kindly. I never did learn. I was always given a hard time because I signed off incorrectly from your show.
Oh, do you have sound? Do you have the sound of that? We delighted in it. When we replayed it for you, we didn't think that you understood what we were saying because it seemed like what happened. We thought it was comedically perfect because your dismount was. We thought you were doing comedy on purpose here. I can't imagine that you weren't doing it on purpose. So play this for him, Mike.
Nick, thank you so much for being on with us. Really enjoy your work.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day. You
seem to fall apart at the end there. Where you play the end of that again so he can hear it again, where you're like, oh. It sounded like you were falling down a flight of stairs because you had failed to nail the dismount on simply saying goodbye during an entertaining interview.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
So it was,
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Now I get it.
But what happened?
Oh gosh, who knows? Any of a number of things. I usually have a few plates spinning, so you never know with me.
This does not answer the mystery, Nick. I thought if you were going to ask about what that was, play for him one more time, Mike. Get an answer to this question of what happened to Nick here.
I think this will help.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You, when something happened.
Is that a yeehaw at the end?
My best guess is it was early on, and so I probably thought I had hung up, and I was like dealing with someone or something else. I was like, okay, thanks so much for having me, guys. You know, and then doing some sort of vocal juggling.
Oh, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
See, was that a snort? Was that a Nick Offerman snort? Now we have another sound to add to our Nick Offerman file. You can combine the two. It could be a snort with him falling off the phone. Thank you, Nick. Sorry to have taken so much of your time.
My pleasure. See you guys next time.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Let's go, Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
Stugats.
Let's go, Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats.
Guys, you see what Carlos Correa said?
No, what happened?
He said that Derek Jeter's he should have zero gold gloves. None of his gold gloves should have been given to him.
I mean, this guy.
Is because what Carlos Correa said.
Because why? He's overrated?
Yeah.
He wasn't that good of a fielder?
Well, I don't want to.
I love that Correa doesn't give a shit about anything.
I think by the metrics, though, he was not a dominant shortstop.
Well,
and he was just a popular shortstop. Kind of like his whole career. I've done this before with like friends outside of here. Like, this Jeter guy.
We care about you.
He was never the best shortstop in the game, and yet he's thought of as one of the best shortstops ever.
There were times where he was not the best shortstop on his own team. Yeah. Yes, that would be A-Rod. What are we doing to Jeter here? Because Jeter is one of the all-time greats. I mean,
Carlos Correa is playing a very dangerous game headed into free agency when a team is reportedly willing to spend money. They're not going to sign him.
I think Jeter is one of the most consistent, really good players of all time. He had a long, really good career. And if you do it for so long, that becomes a great career because it's just consistent over a long period of time. He was never like I've used this example before. Hanley Ramirez was a more talented player than Derek Jeter.
Yes.
But Hanley got fat. He didn't have the discipline.
Whoa.
Well, that's part of the greatness of Derek Jeter. And he did not get fat. He stayed consistent.
That's part of the greatness?
Yes. Not longevity. Yes.
Mr. November.
Not being fat. Oh, no. Right. Mm.
Like Hanley let himself go a little. Then he had to move to first base. I mean, he did.
Your boy Hembo went scorched earth on Derek Jeter on Greeny.
Ooh. Yeah.
What do you mean?
He was giving the metrics that shows this is why he should. Hembo was basically putting data behind Correa's comments.
He said they were the worst Golden Gloves ever given.
Okay, so perhaps they gifted Jeter some awards because he was Derek Jeter playing shortstop in that market for those teams. I understand that, right?
The captain.
But Derek Jeter was a great player. I mean, no one's questioning that, right?
I think he was a really good player for a long time.
Fielder and player are two different things, okay? Perhaps he was not the best fielder, Derek Jeter is a Hall of Fame player.
The argument was that he wasn't a great defender. I think Hembo even went on as far as to say he was a bad defender. The cost his team a lot of runs.
No.
Yeah, Hembo said that.
I mean, if Hembo's saying it, Hembo said it. You know it's true. Hembo never misses. Salute to Hembo, by the way.
Really?
Salute to Hembo. It's my boy.
Chris, do you think Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
You guys all think?
I think you should reward somebody who was a top three or four shortstop for like 20 years.
Right.
Even offensively. He was, you know, he batted 310. He never hit, like, he wasn't a big power guy. He just was
he's a bit of a compiler. Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, that's where he seems to be.
That sounded like
that.
What a, you know.
And, but
what
you can't, I don't want to take, he was 3, clutch.
Hits, but,
but he was incredibly.
75 years.
Incredibly clutch. So there's value in that, too. I'm not dismissing it. Mm. I'm just saying, in terms of pure talent,
right.
Jeter is not as good as he's thought of.
Wow, so he's a grinder?
Maybe. Mm. He's just a grinder.
Mm. Doing a compiling
it,
grinder.
Doing it compiling. In that market for that team at that position and doing the amount of winning that they did, by extension, and he's the captain of it. He was, you know, in the center of it all. That makes that him.
He was flying the plane. Who cares? Captain.
It makes him a good player. Dan and I have had the discussion over the years. If Derek Jeter played for the Royals, he would not be in the Hall of Fame.
Would not be in the Hall of Fame.
No. He would just be another guy.
With the same numbers?
No, the reason Jeter makes it to the Hall of Fame is because Jeter did it in the postseason. He did it in that market in the postseason with the lights on in the biggest spots, and he performed well.
But his numbers
the lights weren't off, Roy.
The regular season numbers got him into the Hall of Fame.
No, I know, but Billy, the moments really got him into the Hall. The reason we think Derek Jeter is so great is because of what Derek Jeter did in the postseason.
All right, guys.
It has nothing to do with the regular season.
Stugatz,
no one cares about the regular season.
We all know where this is going.
Where's it going?
Stugatz's top five Derek Jeter moments of all time.
Wow.
Yep.
Do you have that handy?
Jeets.
Do you have that there or not?
I got to find it. Hold on. I got to find it somewhere. It might be in my car. But.
I can rack off like three off the top of my head. I can
it better not be that one where he took like seven steps after catching the ball.
That's one of them.
That's one of them. Into the stands.
Came out of the stands and blood on his face.
He did not need to jump into that stand. He took seven full steps after catching that ball.
Well, getting the cutoff throw and throwing it to home plate.
That's another one. You guys are playing this game.
Why are you filling out my list?
You guys know this game.
We're trying to help you.
That's on Giambi for not sliding.
Be careful. We're running out of moments, guys.
Okay, hold on. I got to find the list. I will. Derek Jeter top five moments. There is certainly that flip to the catcher is certainly within his top five moments.
Yeah.
All right. I need to find four more. I need it's to find the list. I don't know where it is. Dan left all these papers here. My list is somewhere in there. Yeah, I don't know where it is. Hold on.
Let me ask you a question, Stugatz.
Yeah.
If he had made that same flip, but he was on the A's.
He wouldn't be in the I see what you're saying. And, he's still in the postseason.
No. I'm saying if he made that flip and he was on the A's and Giambi was on the Yankees,
right.
And he was scoring, would it have been safer out?
Yes.
Well, what do you mean yes? It was one or the other.
I was confused.
Yeah.
I got to find the list, Billy.
Okay,
all right?
Sorry.
Ask someone else that question, okay? Ask Chris, perhaps.
Okay, Lewis.
I got to find the list.
Lewis still doesn't have a mic.
Hold on. I'm looking for my top five Jeter list.
Your top five Jeter list sponsored by BleacherReport.com.
Yeah.
JeterList.com.
I found it.
Oh, perfect. What a coincidence, huh, that you happen to have it on hand.
It was under that one paper, right? I saw it.
Yeah, and there really are a lot of papers in there. There's a bunch of red wax hippos also in there for some
collector's
reason.
Editions, by the way.
Yeah. There is the Jeter assisted home run, the Meyer home run, where you know the kid grabbed the ball. It wasn't a home run, but it was a home run. It was July 11, 2000 versus the Nationals. It was an all-star game. Lights were on, big stage, Derek Jeter, big home run.
Wait.
The Meyer home run.
No. That was against
Meyer
the Orioles. That
was not an all-star game.
It's a playoff game.
No, it wasn't.
What is happening right now?
What?
Hold on a second.
No, it wasn't. Check it.
It was against the Orioles.
Oh, that was 96 Orioles. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? The list. Listen.
This is your list. What do you mean the list? This is your
Dan
list.
Dan spilled something on the list. Yeah, so
I'm
having trouble reading the list.
It's
sorry
that's
about
fine,
that.
By the way. You read the internet.
So is that
no,
number
I did
five?
Not. No. Dan spilled his coffee on my list, yeah. Roy. Okay.
So that's number five?
No. I have a new number five.
Oh.
The new number five. The flip play.
The five?
Yeah, that's number five. October 13th, 2001, we discussed it versus the A's. That is number five on my list. You guys ready for number four?
Yeah.
Not really.
The dive.
That's Chris's
dive.
July. It's not a bullshit dive. It was a great dive. He sold the dive a little bit. Big deal. July 1st, 2004 versus the Red Sox. He had the dive. That is number four on my list of top five Jeter moments.
What if what Chris is saying is true and that wasn't actually even blood on his face? It was like barbecue sauce.
Ketchup or something.
Yeah. Like he went face first into some chicken fingers and got some barbecue sauce.
I think I've seen I've seen video of him rubbing ketchup on his face in that.
he did the chicken finger after and then he ate it on his face.
Number three, Mr. November.
What's the moment?
Derek Jeter hits the walk-off home run.
Of what?
Was it off Byung-Young Kim, that one?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Off the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yeah, yeah. That's number three on my list. I got to find Dan really spilt a tremendous amount of coffee on this piece of paper. It's ridiculous.
The real Jeter list.
Reading it. Made the top two go away completely.
I mean, I can't find them. It's weird. Yeah. Now I have to find them again. I'll
paper
find them
made
in
of
a
sugar?
Second.
How did it like?
Hold on a second. I'm looking for it. Ah, here it is. It is the Subway Star, October 25th, 2000, against the Mets. The Mets showing signs of life in the Subway Series. Derek Jeter hits a monster home run, Game 3, and essentially ends that series against the New York Mets. That is number two on my list.
You wrote all of that.
I did. I did. I was at the game, Bill.
We had to look through the coffee.
I was at the game.
Let me ask you guys a question before we get to number one.
Yeah.
Because Chris has kind of said it. I think Tony's gotten to it. You've gotten to it. When you guys play baseball, softball, whatever sport, even football.
Softball.
Do you ever kind of slow it down a little bit before you do something to then make it spectacular? Like maybe you don't go all out running for a fly ball. You say, you know what, let me get a little bit of a late jump on this so I can make a dive here.
I'm certain Chris has done that. Just to sell it a little bit?
Yeah.
Just to sell it.
I've done things like where I'm running to a base where I know I'm going to be safe and I'll like, you know, slow down a little to like make it a closer play just to like mess with the defender.
Really?
Wow. If I have a stand up double and the ball's coming in from the outfield, like I'll like, you know, walk the last few steps and like get there right before the ball gets
to
the short.
Oh, you hot dog.
Wow.
I'm just trying to think. I think that's the only thing I've done in that realm. Tony, you look like you'd be a cocky basketball player.
There's sometimes where I shoot a three and I'll kind of like hold it for a little bit and kind of lean a little bit just to see it go in. And then, my classic signature is the jog back, right?
Yeah,
the backwards jog.
My classic signature.
I mean, you guys have all mentioned
it. You have a signature, really?
Yeah, it's his jump, man.
It's just running back to the other end of the court.
Yeah. Chris, you're a cocky golfer. You are.
A coffer. No, I am. I like a club twirl. I like to twirl the club after.
You're very confident on the golf course. But again, when you can hit it 350 yards, why would you not be confident?
It's like the Mike's shot. It gets longer. My drives get longer and longer.
Bryson DeChambeau at this point.
No,
477.
Tony, I'm telling you.
I've seen him play.
Chris Cody can hit a golf ball, I would say fairly consistently, plus 300 yards.
If I have some wind and some roll. I would say, I mean, I like it. Thank you. I don't know why I'm undercutting you. I should just shut up. But
take it.
Tony, I average more 285, 290.
You know what I liked to do in that realm? I'm playing defense in like flag football.
Mm-hmm.
You goat the quarterback into throwing you an INT.
How?
You play a little bit far off and you have them think there's a window there. You maybe play a little bit low so they can't see you.
Okay.
And then you just kind of run up and you steal it right away from the wide receiver.
Billy Revis over here.
Yeah, Billy Revis. It's so
you've never done that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't play defense.
Back
but,
when I was, you know, athletic.
So you'd kind of like wait. You'd let the receiver go a little bit further.
Lying in the
weeds. And then you'd put the burners on and then go get
it. No, it would always be like something up the middle. So I'd give him like three or four yards ahead of me.
Ray Lewis here.
Yeah, I'd give him like three or four yards ahead of me.
Right.
And then I'd just kind of swoop in and take it. Like make it seem like there was nothing around in the open field. And then I just
run out in
front
of them.
Is
there a video of you playing flag football? Because I'd like to watch that.
No, because most people don't walk around playing recreational things with camera crews like you do.
Who videos their flag football game?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
I'm with Tony. You got to videotape shit.
Yeah, videotape.
Really?
Yeah, man, get out there.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, he doesn't play anymore, but when he used to play.
Yeah, when I used to play back in my
retired, right?
Yeah, I never had the gloves either. If I had the gloves, oh boy.
Wait, Chris, you have all your games on tape?
No. I mean, every once in a while, I'll give if my wife comes, hey, record this at bat. Like, I'm not doing the entire game like some people.
I don't do the. I'm not going to explain myself. Anymore.
I feel like you are.
There's a paid photographer there. Tom.
Yeah, Tony, you ever?
I don't pay him. I also don't pay him. The league pays him.
You ever like tell the guy, like, look, you know, I'm down to be mic'd up for this game. I'm surprised we haven't gotten to that yet.
You know what? It's in the works.
Lord.
You gave me the idea. I'll put it in the play.
What's number one?
I have it right here.
Okay.
I got the coffee off. Farewell to the Bronx. The reason this is the number one thing, Jeter took the subway to the game. He rode with the fans. He said hello to the fans. The day was all about Jeter. They didn't make the playoffs. But in his final at bat at Yankee Stadium as a Yankee, what really you could call, you know, summarize his entire career, because this is what Jeter was all about. Lights were on, big spot, everyone watching, expecting something. And man, did he deliver. And what he delivered was an inside-out single. I mean, and what says more about Derek Jeter than the inside-out single?
That was a cool moment.
That's Jeets.
That was a really cool moment. Yeah. I remember watching that, hitting the Yankees, and still being like, yeah, this is pretty freaking cool.
We just saw history right there.
Yeah. So I found the list, so I feel good about that. Dan, I'm not certain I got it right in the correct order of the list, to be honest with you.
What's your list?
Well, you know what?
Well, the coffee.
The coffee got in the way. So that was always number one on my list. I think I got the Meyer thing screwed up there.
You definitely did. And that ended up not even being on your list.
Exactly.
It's number eight.
Got it.
Okay, good.
Do you guys ever...
Thank you, Roy.
Do you guys ever get tired of computers trying to get you to prove you're not a robot?
It's bullshit.
Yeah, I hate it.
What's the one that drives you the most crazy?
You're the robot computer.
The amount of traffic lights in this picture.
Yes, and there's always a sneaky traffic light way in the back, and you're like, oh, I didn't get that one. I thought it was a bird.
No, it's the boats. It's the corner of the traffic light, and they trick you, right? So you select one, and then the next picture has a tiny little corner hanging on for dear life, and you have to click on that one as well, and if you don't,
you're a robot.
You're a robot.
And you do seven of those. Exactly. And you have to do seven of those. It's not...
four to seven. Yeah.
Have you guys ever, like, what happens if you fail? Have you ever been like, I'm a robot now?
Yeah.
No, you have to check off that box.
No.
Otherwise, you've wasted your time.
No, but what we're saying is if you do it and then
and you continually fail, right?
Then do you think I'm a robot?
Well, of course.
How often have you thought you're a robot?
Well, what do you mean? The computer thinks you're a robot. The system thinks you're a robot.
No, but the computer knows that maybe you are a robot, and that's how you find out.
You, Billy. What are you doing right now?
What do you mean?
You go to the thing.
Yeah.
Traffic lights. How many boxes?
Correct.
You click on all the boxes.
Yeah.
Then you click I'm not a robot.
Uh-huh.
And then you get it wrong.
And then
you're a robot.
Then you're a robot.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Right. So what are you asking?
That's it.
My favorite's the buses. I like to find all the boxes with buses. That's my favorite. If I had to pick one of them.
I like the streets.
Yeah, but it's usually two. I'll give you a secret, a little tip here.
Uh-oh.
Two boxes for the bus.
Ooh.
Never more than two.
Mm. I don't know if that's true.
What?
Check on it.
I like it. Next time, I'll let you know, Stu. I think it works.
Right.
It's like, hey, computer, how about you prove to me that you're not evil? Mm-hmm. You're the one that my cell phone's listening to me.
I don't think it's an evil meter. Hold on. It's not an evil meter. It's a robot meter.
Yeah,
it's a totally different meter.
Yeah, but I think if I was a robot not trying to like trick the system, they'd be fine with it.
Right.
They think I'm an evil robot. They really are trying to prove you're not an evil robot trying to do harm.
Oh, so they
if I was just a robot that's like, hey, I just want to peruse your website, they'd be cool with it.
I think bots are evil. And robots are okay.
Hmm. Right. What about cyborgs?
Cyborgs.
How good does it feel when you get it right, though, first time?
Sometimes you just get to click, I'm not a robot.
Right.
Sometimes they don't test you. Right. Sometimes they're like, you know what? I got a good feeling about this guy.
As long as
he clicks this box, he's good to go.
On Instagram, I saw some the other day that there was a box that said, click this if you're not a robot. And it was like a little finger, like with a little pencil. And it clicks it. And then it zooms out. It was a robot.
You got to be careful because sometimes it says click this if you are a robot. It tries to trick you.
How many times?
Oh, I've never seen that.
Be careful.
How many times will you go through it? Like, do they keep just resetting it until you get it right? Is that the deal? Yes.
Is it worse than CAPTCHAs? The ones where you have to get like the number and the letter, but then they're all like blended together and you can't read it.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Why are these letters like sideways?
No, Tony, what I'm wondering is if you get the traffic light one wrong,
right?
Then it goes on to the next one.
Right, and they're boats. You got to pick all the boats.
You get boats, right? Then you get cars. Then you get bicycles. Then you get whatever. Streets. You get them all. How many times will it keep going before it says, you know what? You're a robot. Yes. Yeah.
Give it a whirl. You should see.
Well, how?
Well, next time you go to check into your bank, get it wrong.
But has anyone ever done it? Has anyone ever taken it that far?
Be that person.
I mean, I think I don't want to be that first. You have to be a robot to get that far, right? Like, if you get to the point where you're picking 17 different things, like, you're a robot. I don't think a human's ever made it that far.
What does a human do?
Like Mars, right? We have a lot of robots on Mars, but we don't have any humans.
Really? Yeah. We got a lot of robots on Mars. They drive through, they pick up samples. No humans on Mars, though.
That's a good point.
But I think it just keeps going and never acknowledges that you're a robot. I do. I think it keeps going.
I get what you're saying, though. There's no end point where it's like the computer says, you know what? I think it goes on
until you get it right, which is my kind of test, by the way. You just keep going until you get it right. Keep guessing until you get it right. But I think that's what it does. I don't think it ever says, hey, you're a robot. It should say, hey, you're a moron.
Agreed.
Maybe after a certain point, like another box pops up and it's like, hey, just between us, I'm a robot. And then you click that one and they're like, okay. Maybe not, though.
Maybe I'm going to try it.
Do it with something important.
Okay, hold on.
Do it with something important.
Okay. What would I have to log into to get that to, let me think of something. You know who does it? You know Megaphone?
Yeah, Megaphone.
Yes. All right, Megaphone. All right, let me
try. You gotta make sure you're not logged in already, though, because then it'll just take you there.
Right, yeah. Let me try. What are you doing on Megaphone?
Why can't I be on Megaphone?
You can't be on Megaphone.
What are you, crunching the podcast numbers? Crunching numbers?
I'm punching the podcast numbers.
You have to do a deep dive into what's going on Megaphone.
He's like whiting stuff out on his screen.
Yeah.
Hold on a sec. All right, I think I'm there.
What do you think a robot would do on Megaphone? Megaphone is where we post our podcast.
I think it'd be trapped.
For all the robots out there.
What would be a What's the computer's end game if we are a robot?
That's what I'm saying.
Right, what's it going to do?
Maybe also, alert somebody?
Yeah. It's just like a security guard, right? They don't really care. They're not like interested in like actually investigating you. It's like, look, I'm paid here to make sure no robots get in.
I don't know that's what security job.
Well, they're trying. Security's for sure trying to stop robots from getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From any place.
Hmm. Most security guards in general, they don't want problems.
I need one of you to come in here because I don't remember my password.
Well,
Billy, you go.
Well, no.
No, Billy, just get me to the robot stage, okay?
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, this is a trick, and then whatever malfeasances you're doing are going to be under my username.
Oh, Billy playing chess, not checkers.
That's not nice, I'll Billy. I would never do that. I'll log you in. All right, go ahead. Chris is going to log me in here.
Big mistake.
All right, Chris is logging it.
Go ahead and change your password after this.
I love that we're doing this on air.
On. Listeners won't, but I'm having fun.
Want me to give away your password? Oh, you did it quick, so I can't see it. How do you play?
The password's in, so click I'm not a robot.
All right, I'm not a robot. Log it. Ah, oh, did do it.
Damn it.
Oh, wow, look at all those downloads for stupidity. God bless football is f***ing killing it.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.